Hey guys, what's up? What's up? What's up? It's episode 2 of season 3. I'm hanging out with my girl Zulfa, also known as the Cosmic Feminist. Little insider tip, she is actually one of my coaching students and has been for several months, and it's been really amazing to watch her grow because she kind of has a style similar to mine a little bit. I'm going to be honest. It's a letter shop. She has an amazing color palette. Everything's very spacey and cosmic, hence Cosmic Feminist. A lot of things about mental health and feminism. She's like, wait, do I talk now? Do I talk now? I'm like, no, I'm still introducing you. I'm still introducing you. Just hold on, just 1 second. She currently has 26,000 followers on Instagram. We're recording this in like the end of January. It's really hard for me to find guests this season. So if you would like to be guest in this season of Women of Illustration podcast, just send me a DM on the Instagram. I'd love to talk to you. Give me ideas for topics. But anyways, besides my desperation trying to get people to interview, did you know that today we're going to be talking about something very cool, which is going to be how to use your struggles as inspiration for your art? This is something that me and Zulfa know a lot about, because that's like both of our jimmy jams. All right, so I'll let you talk. Hi, Zulfa, how are you?
Hello. I'm great.
So I was asking her, like, what's your last name? Because I actually don't know. And she's telling me, like, there are characters in her last name that don't exist in the English alphabet.
Yes.
So I'm just going to let her tell you what her last name is.
Okay. My proper last name, the way I was born pronouncing it, is Zulfa Ishaq. But the
say,
way
wait,
I say
I need you to say that like 3 more times.
Okay. Zulfa Ishaq. See how like there's like 3 letters in there that you never heard before?
Oh man. The fact that there's the audience is like, what, hag? Like that's the school kids must have been so mean
to
you.
I never noticed that.
Are you serious? Am I the first person to point you out?
Because it's
you
not
have
an
had
H.
a sheltered childhood, my friend.
That fucking, I did, but it's not an H, it's more like a hat. It's like a I can't explain this letter. It's like, I don't know. But that's why I never noticed it. But no,
that's
I
funny.
Notice it.
And what's
but
your ethnicity?
You can
I
just
actually
say,
don't even know.
You can just say Zulfa Ishaq. I think that's easier. But
Ishaq.
So I was born and raised in Yemen, which is in the Middle East. So yeah, that's my ethnicity.
Nice. I love that. I just think that's funny because like kids in the States, did you grow up in the States or where did you
so I moved to the States like what 5 years ago. So I
oh really?
I didn't know.
I talked to you every month for several months.
I'm surprised we didn't talk
and
about this.
I didn't even care. I'm like, oh, you're brown, that's nice. Like I just didn't even ask you questions about your life. I suck. that's so funny because like here in the States kids are the worst. So like my name Dina Rodriguez. Right, there's nothing really obvious there. So like in kindergarten they were like Dino the dinosaur.
What?
Which is like little do they know I love Barney. Okay. because I was a tall fucking kid, you know what I mean? So like I make like dinosaur, like that's awesome. But of course if someone tries to call me that now, it's like I will cut a bitch. Like don't even come at me with the Dino the dinosaur. And then in high school someone realized that if you spell my last name, it's Rodriguez.
Okay.
And so they would just be like, hey, G-U-E-Z.
Oh,
which
my
is,
God.
I know. They find
honestly,
every little
that's
stupid
a little
goddamn
creative.
Thing.
Like, somebody spent time on that.
I know. It was just. So it's like
God.
The fact that, like, you have, like, kind of, like, a more obvious thing that kids can make fun of and you just didn't know and did that to you. That's nice.
I got bullied for other reasons, girl. Don't
oh,
worry
I see.
About
okay,
it.
You did get bullied. All right,
plenty
cool.
So of that. Plenty of that. My last name was just not one of them.
Oh, and that's good. They judge you on other things, like your looks and not your name. That's nice. And, like, how awkward and how much you stood out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Fucking man. So I think me and you, we both have struggles, right?
Yeah. I think everybody has struggles. We just
really?
Talk about them a lot.
I think it's so funny, too, because when I have all these different coaching sessions with students and I'm like, oh, is struggle something you talk about? She's like, well, I don't really struggle with anything.
Oh, wow.
Bitch, shut the fuck up.
I'm so
yes,
jealous.
You do.
Who is that?
Like, even people that have, like, I don't know, let's say they had a really, their family stayed together, they didn't get divorced, loving family, nothing traumatic happened, but they were younger, they had enough money to survive, they got to go study what they wanted, they had support from their family to do that, and then everything just worked out for them, they probably still have problems. Like,
yeah,
you know
I feel
I
like
mean?
maybe they're just the type of person that doesn't like to talk about it to themselves, you know what I
maybe.
Mean? Like, I love talking about my struggles, and that's, like, a way for me to deal with it, really. If I don't talk talk about it, I'd lose my mind. So
I'm definitely one of those. I don't know if you're like this, but when I don't like small talk. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Small talk. Oh my God. Hate it.
So when I go to like a bar or especially like a networking event, this is where it's really bad, where I'm like around people that I should be intimidated by because they're, I don't know, in my eyes, better than me creatively or have more followers or some shit like that. You know what I mean? You know what we do. Yeah. Comparison trap. And that's when I decide to share all my trauma. Okay. It was like, oh, anybody else here raped before they were 20? Oh, I'm the only one? That's cool. Like, I just go into it.
Dude, I didn't fucking know that.
I just dive. Yeah, I talk about everything. I don't even, I think it's important to share those things.
I love that you talk about it. I'm surprised I didn't know that.
Yeah, just like, oh, like, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? And I'll just be like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, hey, I told my dad that I was bisexual, even though I'm dating a man and haven't talked to him since. Mm. Yeah. So it's just like, ah. No, but then that's how I bond. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like if someone doesn't want to have that conversation, then there's really no room for a relationship anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a good test. It's kind of like, are you down?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a judgmental asshole? But I understand, like, there needs to be a certain amount of fluff, right, for an introduction. Like, hi, this is what I do for a living, right? Like, I like coffee, pumpkin spice latte. Like, you just go basic, right, you know what I'm saying? And then you kind of, like, sneak in there, like, oh, you know, I'm having kind of some trouble with my boyfriend. Oh, okay, that's, you know, that's, like, a low-level trouble. Let's talk about that. And then you get deeper and deeper and deeper. I super fucking dive because I don't have time. This is probably why I don't have any friends. I don't have time to like go through and like weed through all the bullshit. Like, I just want to get to the like the sweet spot because then I know you're on my level.
Right.
And it makes sense why I'm so open because I put so much of that in my work. So I'm talking about it all the time.
Right.
Which is, it's fine when you're seeing it on the internet because there's this safety in it. You're protected by the screen versus someone just talking to you in real life.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, like, how do you feel about, like, since you started talking more about your struggles in your account, which is something that you haven't always done,
like,
is it easier for you to talk about, like, real shit in real life? I'm just curious.
Here's the thing, like, I try to, well, first of all, I'm not really good with, like, strangers in general. I wouldn't be able to do what you do and even go past a certain point in a conversation because I just don't know how to talk to strangers. That's a real issue that I have. But let's say I'm talking to, like, people in my life. I've always been the type of person that's, like, I'm so open. Like, I'll say, I hate this about myself. I want to, like, not as, like, I'm just putting myself down, but, like, this is what I want to improve about myself. I'm not the kind of person that, like, tries to put herself on a pedestal. I'm very real. And what happens is sometimes people, like, people react funny sometimes because they're not ready to hear that thing. So I try to, like, read people's reactions. I do feel, like, a lot more empowered to talk about my issues. And I have this thing in the back of my head where I'm, like, fuck you all trying to, like, play this perfection game. There is no such thing as perfection. We're all going through shit. I don't care what you say. So I will try to, like, push it a little bit and, like, say something that might make someone a little uncomfortable and clearly go in that direction where I'm either talking about a struggle or something very real. But a lot of times I'll get a reaction where I can tell the person in front of me just doesn't want to go there and doesn't want to be vulnerable. And I think that's fine. But what's amazing is a lot of other times you get people that are like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Or especially for me when it comes to spirituality, which is like a very like recent thing for me, but it's a huge part of my life right now. There's not a lot of people that get what I'm talking about. Like, I literally will say something about like the universe to someone and they'll like give me such a blank look on their face. Like, what the actual fuck are you talking about? But I get it. I get that they don't get it. I don't get offended at all. But it's worth trying because when I actually talk to someone that gets it and that says something back to me that's like on the same level of where I'm at, like there's nothing compared to that feeling. It's amazing to like feel like, and this is how I like slowly make friends. I very, very slowly make friends. I am incapable of just going out there and just like, when I moved here, I like literally had zero friends. I had family, which I was very lucky to have, but zero friends. And then growing up, I never had to like find friends. They were always like childhood friends. Like I literally never had to go through the process of having like finding friends. So to actually like go out there in the world and show your true self and try to make friends was the most scary thing for me. But it just took time and it took a little bit of that, like just being vulnerable, just being open. And it took time to find like one or two people that I now like completely depend on. So I think there's a lot of value in talking about struggles or talking about like just vulnerability in general or what we're, I mean, we all have some fears. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way nobody's scared of anything. You know what I mean? Like, I get that some people have obviously a lot more serious mental health issues than others, and a lot of people are just like positive, and that's just how their brain chemistry works. But there is no way. I mean, if you don't have any struggles, I'm worried about you, and I need you to go get checked.
It's called denial, honey.
Yeah, like it's not real.
Yeah, and that shit like fucks you up. That's why like when stuff really bad stuff happens to you, your brain has a mechanism that turns it off, and it's like, oh, that never happened. Mm-hmm. And then something randomly, you just be walking down the street, and then something will like a smell or something will trigger. You're like, holy shit, that happened. Like, oh my, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's so much healthier to go through it and talk about it, but. Like, I have friends that, like, you know, they're like, they had several people in their family all die within a year's time, and they just pretended that everything was okay.
Yeah, that can't be healthy.
And then they're like in their 30s now, and they're kind of fucked up. So they're like, and they're like, they just started seeing a therapist. It's like, you would have been so much further along at that point emotionally with your health if you had, you know, sought help or had someone there in your life to help you feel more comfortable seeking help, because that's usually the problem, right?
Right.
So to me, it's like the internet's my therapy, you guys. I just put
it. Really
it is. I put all of my feelings. It does a little bit. And I put all my, but what's interesting too is I know a lot of people who like maybe they really want to talk about something a bit more sensitive, but they're afraid, right? They're afraid of the reaction that people are going to have. They're afraid of the negativity that you're going to have. But I do think that if – I think getting hate for what you're saying is kind of a good sign, because it means you're talking about something worth talking about.
Right.
That's that not everyone can be like, oh, everyone be happy and be grateful. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, of course, God. Everyone can fucking agree with that. You know what I'm saying? But also, anytime I've ever taken myself out of my comfort zone – and I keep doing it over the years – like. Like the other day I showed something that was like of a girl with her tits out smoking weed, and I felt very uncomfortable sharing that on the Instagram. I was like, oh, it's probably gonna get deleted or something because of a troll. I'm gonna get negative comments because people have their own opinions about cannabis and the nudity and all the stuff. And also from like an artistic perspective, I just didn't like the illustration. I wasn't happy with how it like turned out. I thought it was too simple, which to someone else is like, you think that's simple, but whatever. And then it was the number one most liked post I've ever posted ever on my Instagram account. So it was just like, fuck me. And I actually got a couple client inquiries out of it. And I'm just like, all right.
That's really cool.
So you just like, you got to hear that inner critic kind of telling you not to, and just be like, fuck off and just do whatever you want, because you won't know unless you try. So that's kind of like the moral of the story.
And I always sort of talk about like instinct a lot. And instinct is weird because sometimes instinct is telling you not to do the thing, and you have to do the thing to actually find out that your instinct was right and sort of build that confidence with your instinct and know that it knows what it's saying, but also to recognize that voice and to be able to know, am I actually just afraid and I don't want to do the thing because I'm scared, or is there like actual danger there? So I think that's for me still something that I struggle with, and but I take very seriously.
Yeah. Every time I get on a coaching call, I'm like, a little bit more. I'm like, you want to push it a little bit more? And you're like,
yeah. Not but yet. But I'm aware, but the good thing is a lot of times you'll tell me to do something and I know why I'm uncomfortable. I've never done it before. Like, that's when you first told me to like start a newsletter. It just sounded really intimidating and I didn't know how to do it. And I'm so OCD that if I don't know every step of the process, like you would tell me during our call, like, do this and then do this and then do this. As soon as I have all the steps laid out, I feel better about it. But that, I know it's not instinct. I know that's fear. I know that's me pushing myself out of my comfort zone, and I don't want to fucking do it, but you know what? I did it. I might do it in my own way that's maybe somewhat a little different than what you told me, like adjust it to then my instinct, but I know that initial feeling of like somebody telling me to do something that's so great, but I've never done before, that's just fear.
Yeah. It's totally what it is. And like, fear is a very important part of the brain, right? Like, it's there so that you don't die.
Right.
But like, talking about feminism on your Instagram account is not going to kill you. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a certain amount of like normal fear. Like, hey, should I go down the Black Diamond for my first time skiing, or should I go down the Bunny Hill? Yeah, bitch, go down the Bunny Hill because healthcare is expensive. You know? So like, but you could take that same analogy, I guess, and just put it towards like baby steps. Like, figure out that one thing that makes you really, really uncomfortable, and what's something that is still a little uncomfortable but not quite at that big goal that you have, just so you can kind of get comfortable being uncomfortable, which I know is a cliche thing to say, but it's true, like most cliches.
Yeah, and most of the stuff that you wind up doing that you were uncomfortable with really were not that big of a deal, but you don't know that until you do it. And the more you do that, you're like, well, remember last time? It really wasn't that bad. And then you sort of have all of this like backup information telling you that every time it's been okay, why should this time be different? And even if it weren't, like, what, 1 out of 10 or 20 times something gets screwed up, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there's plenty of times where I've shared something of art and it flops. But regardless if it does well or if it doesn't, fucking no one cares. I learned something from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, if it, and it, typically if people didn't like it, what I'm finding with like, at least with the Instagram algorithm, is I did this kind of like test because I post twice a day, 5 times a week for my Lettershop account. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'll post like art in the beginning of the day because art always does better than me like, hey, here's a product that's for sale. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the people who interacted with that really amazing art piece, they're much more likely to see the product piece.
Oh, smart.
And then you would think that that would work. It didn't.
It didn't?
No. And then so I reversed it to because they had to test it, right? So I'm like, okay, what if I put the product image first and I put the art later? They still got the same amount of engagement.
Huh. So it's just about the actual piece rather than whatever is aided around
it's all about the content. Like, yes, there's like a certain amount of like there's a window. Typically, your art will perform better. Like, that's why Instagram, if you go to analytics, will tell you like 8 to 5 or something. Mm. As long as you're in that window, it doesn't really matter like what you're posting, because like obviously art that people can easily share is going to perform better. Mm-hmm. But you have to think of why is that person wanting to share that piece in the first place? If it's something that's not relatable and it's something that they don't see themselves in, why would they share it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest issue I see like every illustrator on the planet do. It's like, oh, I made a portrait.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I used to do at the beginning.
What does that portrait mean, though?
That was all my work. And I thought I was doing something really amazing because I knew what I was trying to say. But the reality is, the harsh reality is, nobody fucking knows what you're trying to say. Yeah. Unless it's like a portrait that is so conceptual, but also so clear. I don't know. I don't know what the recipe for that is.
No, like definitely. Like more representational, but like let's say you get a little surreal with it. You add like really cool things in the background and maybe like her hair is on fire and she like looks angry.
Then I feel like even with that, it will still take more time to pick up than when you just put a really clear message on there. And communicate what you want to communicate. But and that took me time to realize too, because I pushed against that and I was like, no, I don't like adding text to my drawings. Like, I wanted to be more conceptual than that, but I mean I had to get over it.
And it's working really well for you.
It's working good.
You're getting such crazy engagement, dude. Like, you get like better numbers than I do, and I have three times your following.
I do? I didn't know that. Well, thank you. That's cool. Yeah, that's a compliment.
Feel fucking good, you bitch.
I do feel good. Thank
you're
you.
You're doing so good. Yeah, because it's like, it's such a kind of like a mind fuck that, and I say this all the time, like lettering artists are always going to do better. Not do better like in their careers, but like perform better in terms of like places like Instagram because you don't have to guess what their work means.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sharing something to stories, which is typically that one, that's the one metric you need to be looking at. Likes are pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Comments, like everyone's got shit to do and they usually just give you a bunch of emojis that mean nothing, which Instagram doesn't even count as a comment. It's a thing. But shares, that's how Instagram's like, ooh, this is good shit right here.
Yes.
And just like tapping the arm like, okay, give me some more of that.
And that's the content that I have that's the most shared is usually the ones that gets me the most following. Mm-hmm. So that usually really boosts up my page for like 2 or 3 days. And then I literally like I just posted something like a week and a half ago and something happened. I don't know where that piece went. I also had no idea that piece would do well. But then it did so well that it got me like, I don't know, like 5,000 followers in a week, which
no big deal.
Again. Yeah, like literally just didn't happen ever again. But like I kept posting for a week after and obviously nothing did as well. But that didn't bring me down really because I'm glad that piece did so well. But I don't, the best that I can do is try to figure out why it did so well and try to keep it up. But I still have to be true to myself and create content that I feel strongly about, even if it doesn't like, that's like, it feels like an odd, like, a 1 in a million kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I'm glad it happened. I'm happy it happened. But I'm not going to keep all my content up to that standard because then I'm just going to stop enjoying what I'm creating. And to be honest, before posting, I had no idea it would do that well. So I don't even know what the fuck happened.
Yeah. And I think like the moral of the story is like if it relates to you, it's probably going to relate to other people.
Right.
And if it just takes one person to share it and then let's say a bigger account is following that person, then they're like, oh, shit, let me repost that.
Yeah.
And like,
it's really like serendipity. It's really weird, like how like one thing leads to another. And like Instagram is the perfect example of that. And like one person will follow you that has a lot of followers because they saw you through someone else. And it's like, how does that even happen? It's almost like it's out of my control. I'm throwing this thing into the ocean and I don't know what's going to come back from it. All I can do is make sure I put my heart and soul into the thing I created.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's back it up a second here. So a lot of people are like, well, how do I do that? How do I find, because essentially what we're talking about is finding your illustration niche, right?
Yes. Now, me
100%. And her, we're all about struggles. And usually the way that I break it down, you've probably heard me say this before, but if you haven't done it yet, you got to listen. Maybe this is the time that you'll finally do it. You usually want to pick something like an interest or a hobby, right? Because if you like knitting, there's other people who like knitting. If you like binge watching sci-fi, then other people like binging sci-fi, right? Like that's totally a subject matter you can talk about in your art. Mm-hmm. We have obviously struggle, which is what we're talking about. She's talking a lot about, well, we talk a lot about the same things like feminism, mental health, body positivity. And then I think the only difference between us is I talk about canvas. Mm-hmm. And then the third one being values, which is that feminism does a lot, because feminism is a struggle and a value at the same time. It's one of those weird ones, like politics, religion, anti-religion, like really just anything that's like it's a big part of who you are and how your moral compass is driven, I guess you can say. And if you just pick one of each of those columns, or you pick all of it from one column, you'll find that it's so much easier to make content because you're just making the things that you feel and think and do. And it's so much easier to come up with ideas. And then other people are much more likely to relate to those versus you just drawing for drawing's sake, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to say like, I'm the reason you found your illustration niche, but what were some of the steps leading to you figuring out your niche, you think?
So I think how it started is I always knew I loved drawing things that had to do with spirituality. Like almost every drawing I had the third eye or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I knew what I loved. I didn't know how to like put it together in like a nice little package and tie it up with a bow. That's what I didn't know how to do. But I think what happened is like one day I was sitting with my husband and I was like, you know what I love doing and I've loved doing is drawing on black backgrounds and having a space theme. I love it so much. I don't know if I'll love it in a year, but I love it so much right now that I think it might be worth like putting myself in that. Well, it's sort of that makes it sound negative saying putting it in a box, but that's what it is. Putting myself in that like comfortable little box and, you know, creating illustrations that are space themed. And so part of that is most of my characters don't have like normal skin colors, so they have like either green or purple or whatever skin colors. And the reason I do that is to sort of step away from the things that make us different and like make us all into aliens, you know what I mean? That's really the concept. And I was just talking about that, and then I was talking about how like I feel so strongly about feminism, and feminism for me is everything, you know what I mean? It's fighting for your rights, it's spirituality, it's empowerment, it's everything. So I was talking to him and I was like, it's like cosmic feminism. And when I was saying that, I didn't know that I thought cosmic feminism was a thing. So I was like, that was just my way of explaining it to him. So I was like, you know what? I know it sounds scary, but everybody has been telling me to niche. You were telling me to niche. Tom Ross from Design Cuts was telling me to niche. And it sounds scary. That's why when I listen to people's like arguments about niching, I completely understand where they're coming from, because it's like, well, what if I hate this in a year? Well, deal with it in a year. That's what I told myself. Deal with it then. Don't deal with it right now. As long as I had to have that conversation with myself is, do you love this right now, today? Do you love this? That's all you know. Mm-hmm. And so then I made the decision to also pick like 5 or 6 colors and stick to them. And those were really honestly the colors that I like. Like if you look at my color palette on my Instagram, you'll almost never see reds. And it's because I hate red. I genuinely hate red. I don't know what's my problem with red, but like I don't even buy red clothes, nothing. I don't know. I feel like that color
means
just
to stop and you just want to go, baby.
Screaming at me. Like I feel like it's yelling at me and I'm like, just calm down, red. And then like actual, I think it's Christmas colors that I hate, like true green. Like these are the colors that I hate. And so I was like, I put them aside and then I like put together like 5 colors that I absolutely love, picked like the hex numbers for them. And they've literally been like the only colors I've been using since then. And so what happened is creating content became so much easier because now I have a topic and now I have a style. So I just need to come up with the visual. And a lot of times for me, because I'm such a a spiritual person and I meditate a lot and I do all that, a lot of times the image just comes to me. And sometimes, fuck, for a whole week, I have no idea what to draw. That happens. It's like, I'm human. I have good days and bad days. But for the most part, it's only affected me positively because now I have a certain road and I know where I'm going. And if one, and here's the funny part. Like, almost every month since I've started this thing, there's been a slight change, either in my style or in the way I talk about things. Like, I'll have a month where I'm mostly talking about spirituality and not a lot about feminism. And that's, so that's another thing that might help people is, that's why I did cosmic feminism, because they're not separated. They feel like the same topic, to be honest. But you can separate them. So you can just talk about spirituality and empowerment and then literally have your typical angry feminist posts. to me they're all one world, and that's why I don't think about it too seriously. Like, oh my god, have I done a feminist post? Have I done a whatever post? And yeah, when I do, I'm like, fuck it. No, I just need to trust my instinct. But that's something that could help. So a lot of times I'm in a spiritual mode. I'm not angry. I'm not surrounded by things that make me angry. And then one thing will happen to me or to a woman around me and I'll be like, fuck that shit. And I'll go create a feminist post. And that's just me rolling with life. And also in terms of my colors, I only used to do black background colors. And nowadays I'm like, oh, it's fun doing colored backgrounds and then having the actual object be black and spacey or whatever. So
yeah, that's my favorite, is when you have a pink background and then there's something encased in space in this foreground.
And I've really been loving that, but am I going to be doing that in a month? I don't know. My mind is creative and it can create whatever. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, who the hell is sitting there waiting for me to make a mistake and is like, no, you did this. Like,
no one.
Literally,
no one
nobody fucking cares.
I know.
Except you. So I understand people's fears because I was there, but also if I wouldn't have done this, I genuinely don't think I would have grown, because when people go on your page, they need to get what you're trying to say within the first 5 seconds of being there. And if you have a cohesive color palette and a theme and a topic, and then you have that in your bio, they don't have to dissect your page. They're just gonna get it.
They just get it. Exactly. Yeah. So some addition, just to kind of add on what she's saying, and she's heard me say all this shit 1,000 times. So it's okay. So I have 3 buckets, right? So mental health, body positivity, and cannabis. Even though those things might seem a little bit separated, they all are in common because I have them in common.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if I ever get, because I talk a lot about, I think out of all the things, I talk about probably mental health the most, but it's not everyone's oh, you should, and I do get people oh, you should talk more about blunts. And I'm it's hard to be meaningful with weed sometimes. I don't know how to do, it's just how many times do I need to draw a girl smoking weed? I guess forever. I'll just do it forever. If people don't get sick of it, sure.
Yeah.
But it's if I get sick of one thing, I can just move on to the next category. Mm-hmm. And it's really you're just doing you. You're just drawing the things that you're feeling in that day. If it's mostly spiritual, that's fine. But if it's the occasional feminist fuck you, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I just looked you up in Social Blade. If you had to guess, how many followers do you think you're getting on a monthly basis? If you had to guess without looking at anything.
Monthly, 3K or something.
Ooh, it's higher.
How much is it?
15,000.
What?
Yeah, I just looked it up. So Social Blade, you guys definitely check out Social Blade. It'll only pull up if you have a business account, as a heads up. So right now it's saying that your monthly average is 15,870 new followers every month, and that's going to only increase over time.
Sweet. Thanks for that information.
On, I don't know what happened on the 12th, but on the 12th, you got 800 followers. And then the 13th, it was 600.
I'm telling you, it's that post. Mm-hmm. That post did something.
But since then, you're almost somewhere between the 300 mark every day.
Yes.
Of growing followers.
300 to 200, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's very cool to see. You know
what
I mean?
It's very cool to see. And what's, to be honest, if you would have told me I had this many followers 6 months ago, I would have been oh my God. But to be honest, the cooler part is the messages that you get, or when people share or comment and say this is exactly what I was feeling today, or blah, blah, blah. That makes it really worth it. I mean, not that I appreciate every single follow. Thank you, everybody who follows me. But honestly, I don't know. It's just an amazing feeling, because it feels like this is why I'm doing this. You know what I mean? Not that I think I'm saving anybody, but I know the effect.
You are, though. I know it's weird to think that, but I get messages every single day, several messages where it's hard not to get jaded to a certain point.
Right.
But then someone will kind of break the barrier and I just have to cry because I'm so sensitive. Mm. So when people send me this like 4-paragraph story of their lives about how they've, you know, had thought about killing themselves and how they felt so alone, and then my work helped them through that. And then, you know, something like one girl was talking to me about how, like, in the same week her mom died and her house burnt down. And it, and she was just glued to my Instagram because it made her feel good, even just for a few seconds.
My heart.
And I was just like, oh my God, I'm just going to sit here and cry for like 30 minutes in the corner and then I'll get back to work. And and it's just like, Rick's just always like, why are you crying all the time?
I'm
like,
oh my God, I cry so all the time.
Like, I just don't know what to do. And I just kind of freak out a little bit. I mean, keep sending me those messages. It really fuels me like way more than money or followers could ever do.
100%. Yeah,
it's so motivating. But it's intense when you start talking about these things. And I know anyone listening to this 100%. Is like, oh, well, I don't want to get messages like that. So I won't talk about struggles. It's like, please just don't rob the world of your voice.
Yeah. And because to be honest, you feel awkward about it. It almost feels like the butterfly effect. Because what if I like had created a post because I was feeling a thing, and then somebody in like fucking Brazil, I don't know, somewhere, saw the post, felt something, and then said something to someone based on that post. Because I've had those moments where I was feeling like crap and saw like a meme that literally made me feel better. That has happened for sure. But I was meant, well, again, this is the cosmic person in me. I was meant to see that thing at that time. And so if I have any, like, and I know we're talking about struggles. Not everybody's niche has to be struggles, but whatever it is that you're passionate, if you're passionate about it, then somebody else is passionate about it. And even if it's like jokes, if you're just writing jokes and designing and illustrating jokes, like literally you might be making someone's day somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then literally it's a small effect that can lead to one thing and then the other thing. And that's, to me, honestly, that's what my whole page is about. It's empowerment, right? And my empowerment comes from my spirituality, from knowing that I'm here for a reason. I don't necessarily know what it is, but my art could be one of the things why I'm here. And because I'm here for a reason, I fucking have rights. You know what I mean? And that also like awakens the feminist in me. And that's why, like, to me, it's all intertwined in my account. And like, it's literally just like a brain dump of either what I'm feeling or, to be honest, sometimes what someone else is going through in my life. Totally. That fuels me, because it doesn't just have to be like my experiences. I'm not going through anything, like everything. And I also have a lot of privileges in my life that I'm very well aware of. But sometimes someone in your life could fuel something for you to, I don't know. Am I making sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I was too busy listening to you. Sorry. I was like, I like when she says things.
I get scared.
Oh my God, me too. No worries. Okay, so for people out there who are trying to figure out this whole niche thing, and they're thinking struggles might be something to think about, the advice I always give to my coaching students is pick 1 to 3 things, right? Do them for a month.
Yes.
And if you like them after a month, keep doing them. But if
that's good advice.
Yeah, that way you know, do I even fucking like doing this? Like, is this even fun for me? Or is it really hard for me to come up with ideas? That part could just be practice. But if it just feels like this feels wrong, then you have to really listen to that gut intention 100%. And switch immediately. Yeah. But the fact that you're doing this is called intentional practice, right? It's way better than just randomly like, oh, I saw this thing on the internet, I'm going to draw that. Oh, I saw this quote on a movie, I'm going to draw that. Or like, I saw this other girl draw this, draw me in this style prompt, I'm going to do that. Like, you're all over the place, man. Like, just stick to one thing. Like, give people a reason to follow you. That seems like such a basic freaking concept, but it's so true. And what I think helped both of us is just putting it right in our bio what our subject matter is.
100%.
So that way, if I ever, because it just helps, because I look at my grid, I think, way too much. Like, I look at it probably an hour a day collectively. And that's probably being nice. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I'm admiring it. I'm like, damn, you're sexy. You're beautiful, beautiful baby. And then I look at like old posts to see if they have new comments, because I get so many now that I can't. It's hard to manage, and I don't want to miss out on a comment, especially since it's so personal sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
And so I'm in there just looking at my own shit all the time. And also, I think it's important because I just get really exhausted, because being this emotional is, it's going to take a toll.
Oh my God, 100%.
And sometimes it's nice for me just to look and be like, I did that.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel better.
But for me, it's that way because I am an emotional person, and You know what I mean? Even if I wasn't mm-hmm. creating this art, I probably would have still felt this way, and I'm constantly exhausted, and I cry at least once a day if I let myself. I have those days where I'm like, we cannot cry today because we need to focus on this one thing. But but I do. I'm an extremely emotional person. Like, I can't even watch like a movie that has like somebody die in it. Like,
dude, if I try to watch one episode of This Is Us before I go to work, I'm just fucked for the rest of the day.
Oh my god, I couldn't finish it. I couldn't. I just went through season one and was like, this is too
much
for me.
Every single episode is just so heart-wrenching. Even like the good doctor or something like that. I'm just like, yeah, stop emotionally getting to me. Like, I don't like this. Yeah. But so have you experienced that, the emotional burnout from just being so?
I'm experiencing it this week, which I think is crazy that it's happening when we're recording this episode. I'm really emotionally exhausted, and a few things are happening in my life that are making me like feel like shit. It's not because of my art, but I also like went through a phase like I think 3 weeks ago where I was like on fire. I was like drawing a lot. I was on Christmas break anyway, so I had the time and I was just drawing a lot. So I drew for like 3 weeks, and I think maybe that's part of it is because I drew a lot. Mm-hmm. But this week I had like a couple of things happen that are annoying with a client, and I've just been feeling down. And I think, oh my god, I think being a freelancer makes you feel lonely, because that's what I'm starting to realize. But whatever, there's a few things that are going on that are making me like feel meh. And I literally cannot come up with any ideas. It doesn't happen to me often, but usually when it does, I let the emotion sink in and then try to draw about the emotion. And that's usually been like my best performing pieces, the ones that came from like a really, truly raw emotion. That's usually negative, unfortunately. Like I created a piece saying it's okay to have bad days. I created it like a couple of months ago, and I was literally having a really, really difficult week when I did that. So that's what I've been trying to do this week, but it's not coming out. Like, I think I got to a point where I was like, let's just do more admin stuff and like prepare stuff and like write emails or whatever that needs to be done, because this week is just not for me. But what I've been doing is, I still am in the zone. You know what I mean? I still am like, I love Pinterest. I love Pinterest and I love looking at photography. Usually I try not to look at illustration because I definitely don't want to like take too much inspiration from somebody.
Yep.
But I love looking at photography because sometimes like even looking at someone's face, especially like good photography, like portrait photography, will spark something in me. So I've still been doing that, and I came up like with a couple of ideas. I have a notes thing on my phone where I like keep jotting down ideas. But I still haven't wanted to draw anything this week. And I tried and I drew a couple of pieces. I'm not too happy about them. And then I was like, you know what? That's fine. I mean, this would have been a problem if I were working with client work and I had to draw a piece. That would have been a problem. But usually with client work, it won't be so fueled by personal experiences and personal
struggles.
It's
a different vibe.
Yeah, it's different.
It's easier in a sense.
Yeah, you can sort of emotionally disconnect yourself from it. So I think that would have been fine. But that's been my week, and we're Friday, thank God. The week is kind of over, and I usually give myself Saturdays off. So I think I might be able to get back to it. But, I mean, it happens, and I'm human, and I'm not about to, like, put myself down because of it. And to be honest, I think if anything, I think I need to reflect on why the hell I'm feeling this way and, like, try to, like, spend the time that's needed to help myself rather than bring myself down about not drawing or not creating.
It probably means a couple things, and I have so much to say about this. One, like, you're not a robot, right? So like the fact that you're working like 6 days a week, I work all every day, but I'm just so used to it at this point, and I'm a little different. But it's like, if you're finding yourself like inspiration is really hard for you and it's like you're fighting it, stop fighting it, lean into it. You know what I mean? Right. Lean into the lazy for like a hot minute, like kind of take a second, appreciate how far you've come and enjoy a little break and do something a little different. Even if it's something as simple as like, this is always the example, like a bubble bath. You know what I'm saying? Like full on glass of wine, cucumber slices in your eyeballs, you know, like some good, you know, what a sexy romantic music. Your husband's not allowed in the room. Like, this isn't for you, okay? Like, this is just for, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they get a vibe and you're like, no.
Not for you.
I'm like, I'm not in a giving spirit. This is a taking spirit moment. And just kind of own it and just like binge watch an entire season, maybe, you know, get catch up on This Is Us or something like that, and just take some time for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's so good, because every time I go on vacation, and I only go on vacation maybe twice a year or something like that, because I usually visit my mom in Florida towards the end of February, because that's when her birthday is. She's a leap year baby. I'm actually going to leave soon.
Oh my God, I'm a leap year baby.
Are you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm turning 28.
No, I meant like in leap years.
Oh, well, 28 divided by, oh shit, I don't know, 6?
You don't know your leap year birthday? 6? Is it 6?
No, it's not 6. Oh my fucking god, how am I not able to divide 28 by 4? I'm literally pulling them. I'm 7.
Okay, cool. I'm like, do we need to get a calculator? It's okay. It's like, I draw things. I don't need to know math.
I don't need to know. That's literally why I draw things, because I don't know math.
Dude, my reading comprehension is garbage. Like, legit, I had to draw in every class. And I did okay. I was in AP classes and stuff. Not trying to brag, but you know, whatever. Fuck it. Nice, nice. It's mostly because I grew up in a trailer and I couldn't afford college, but I had to get every AP course possible, right? Because it was free. That was mostly the thing. And I'd have to draw while the teacher was talking, or else I couldn't retain any of the information she was saying. Too.
Yeah, the backs of my notebooks were all filled with eyes. I just literally drew all
eyes
day.
Eyes and roses and like just like in lots of geometric sketching. And usually it was me doing my art homework. That was usually what it was. And the teacher would always yell at me, like, you're not taking notes. I'm like, if I take notes, I'm going to get so much anxiety about the fact that I cannot take notes fast enough that I will not be able to retain anything you're actually telling me. And then finally, she, like, asked me a question. Well, and she'd do it every day, like, 3 times during a session, like, in AP fucking biology. She'd be like, what did I just say? And I would tell her what she said. And she'd be like, okay. And just, like, kind of scowl at me. I'm like, ah, bitch. And it's like, now I draw for a living and I don't remember anything from your class. Ha ha.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Who's the winner now? But also, I do go through this kind of, like, ebbs and flows of creativity. Oh, man, there's so many things I wanted to say. But I'm getting aside from myself. Okay, so every time I go on vacation, right, there's the first few days is like, God, I feel so guilty for not working. I wish I was working. Yes. Like, I don't know what to do. But then something happens like in the middle of it where I just kind of like let myself enjoy my time off. And then that's when all of the inspiration strikes. And that's when I have all these ideas for sketches. And I just come up and then I end up coming out the end of my vacation excited. Like, oh, like just so like a kid in a candy store excited to go back to my desk and work and just make all the things that I've written in my notes.
That
and it's
really
such an amazing feeling.
Me.
So, like, give yourself some time off. You know, like, give yourself a break.
Here's what
it will
happened,
help you.
And I think this relates to every freelancer ever, but I'm just realizing this now, is as I told you, I usually take Saturdays off. I usually make plans outside of the house because I know
that's
if
good.
I'm home, I'm not going to want to sit. I'm going to want to work. So what I did last week, I've been having a hard time since last week, but my husband had Monday off. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to work on Saturday and I'm going to take Sunday and Monday off. I was so excited. Sunday and Monday were the worst days. I could not rest. I was literally binge watching, which I love to do, but like literally like my stomach was burning. I felt like I needed to do something. I felt like a complete loser. But I almost like I'm imagining how you said like towards the middle of your break, maybe that's when you've almost like detoxed and you actually need some time to snap out of it. And that's when you get back to it. Because I felt like, yes, I had 2 days off, but my mind was so focused on work. I was on my phone the whole time on my Instagram or whatever, which is fucking work, that I don't think I took off. Which I think it's really hard when you're managing your own time to be fair to yourself and to be kind to yourself and say, hey, employee, you deserve a fucking day off because you're fucking human.
Totally.
Like, why is it impossible to do that with ourselves?
Yeah. It's I think it's because we're afraid to let ourselves down, but we not knowing that that's actually hurting us for the long
100%.
Haul. 100%.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. But sometimes, like, let's say I'm not on vacation. And that's the only time I give my, especially because I'm around family, I'm around my mom, and she's, you know, she's going to die soon. Like, she's old, okay?
Yeah.
Like, she's got COPD, and she just got over, like, she just beat skin cancer, and she's probably going to live forever, probably, because we got real good genes on the white side of my family, okay? Like, my grandpa fucking lived to be almost 100. It's just, like, a little intense. And he was very, like, going to the bars every Friday, picking up ladies, bringing them home, doing one-night stands. Like, who are the K-Woods? Like, the fuck is this? Ohio knows how to raise some kids. So it's just, like, but when I have, like, you know, for example, like, the weekend off or something like that, and I know I need to give myself time, but something I really enjoy is you'll never see me come up with an idea for an illustration and then make the illustration in the same time, like in the same like space, same day or moment or whatever. My brain just decided to not work in that second. You know what I mean? So
yes.
I typically every single like Sunday or Monday or something like that, I'll go ahead and I'll come up with like 4 or 5 concepts for drawing because that's just so fun for me. And it's usually like I make like a collage kind of thing because I really love collage art. I think it's really pretty, especially like surrealist collage art. I even have a separate Instagram account called Weedikoff, which is which no one knows about. It only has 1,000 followers. I just started it. It's just all like surrealism and lowbrow art because it's just my little outlet outside of Women of Illustration and Letter Shop because I need more art in my life. And it's so rewarding just to be like, I'm just having fun. This might not even be a piece that I draw later. Like, this is just bullshit. Yeah. And also, that's why I love cannabis, because I don't take cannabis very seriously, right? Unless I'm really angry about, like, censorship or something like that, which is, you know, happens a lot in the cannabis industry. Or, you know, it's not very female-focused, that kind of thing. Because it's just, like, an escape from all the struggle stuff. Because I do think that you need to give yourself a break from it, because it is more emotionally exhausting than your everyday illustration work, especially if you're just doing a lot of client work and then you're trying to do personal work. That feels rewarding because, ooh, I get to be myself. Yeah. But when your job is full time, I do whatever the fuck I want.
That can be a lot.
It's really, really tiring. It's rewarding, but it's taking more energy out of your brain hole. You know what I mean?
That's so funny. I didn't think about it that way before, because to be honest, I hate client work. I'm not good at it. I get way too
emotional. People who enjoy client work, it's like, do you enjoy like doing yard work? I don't enjoy doing anything that I have to do, that someone's telling me to do.
I think my thing with client work, though, is I get so emotionally invested and I take everything personally. And unless I'm able to make that like disconnect, I'm not going to be able to enjoy client work. And by that, I mean like projects that go bad, you know what I mean? Projects that go well are like, I love that. I mean, getting good feedback from clients, that's all amazing. But like, there are those projects that are going to suck your soul out. And those projects sort of make me hate client work. But you're right, because usually with client work, it's above the surface, right? I'm not like digging deep into my soul to create their work. It's done with research and blah, 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 but it's all sort of objective, really.
Yeah, it's very objective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's a really cool way of looking at it. It doesn't make me want client work anymore. I mean, I only take client work when I have to and when I need the money. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. You know how you can get client work where you can do whatever you want but still get paid a lot of money for it? Influencer marketing.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for you to say it.
Which you can do now because you have more than 3,000 followers. I downloaded
that app you talk about. What is it called?
It's called Tribe. It's all capitals, TRIBE, for those of you that are interested. You need to have a minimum of 3,000 followers on any platform. It doesn't have to just be Instagram. You can be TikTok. TikTok's a thing now, which I'm obsessed with. That's my new obsession this week. So if you want to see Dina make really weird just jokes, like that you only get if you're on TikTok, you should follow me on TikTok at Lettershop. But so you downloaded the app. What was your impression of it?
I didn't connect to anything that's on there, but I felt like if there was something that I did connect to, I'd be really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple. There's one feminist book, by the way, that's a campaign on Tribe.
Really?
So that might be something you might be interested in. There's two books. There's one book that's about like entrepreneurship that I'm like, I've read them all, I feel like, at this point. And I'm just like, everyone's just saying the same things over and over again, and I'm kind of over it. But then there's this one that's really really good about dating and female empowerment.
Yes.
And like, right. And just in trying to find value in self-worth. And I thought, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do that one. Because like, there's a lot of them that are like, here's a new lotion, here's some shampoo, here's
some diet pill. And unless it's a brand that I actually like, already use, I would feel so weird about that.
Totally. But sometimes they get really cool ones. Like right now, do you want to... Oh, they have a Star Trek campaign.
I saw that. I'm not a Star Trek fan.
Oh, but it's space, bro.
I know.
The fuck is
that? That's, true. That's so funny.
And like Star Trek. So Star Trek Picard, the new... It's on CBS. I don't know if it's live yet. There's a really beautiful main female character that's coming in that has like all these powers and no one knows what to do with her, and then she's like this crazy like but it's like, is she going to use her powers for bad, you know what I mean?
So I
it's
love like, it when I, there's I don't know if that's like the male perception of women when they're like independent, but I love it when there's a character that's like way too strong for everybody around her and she's almost like a nuclear weapon. I'm always fascinated by those.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so yes, that almost girl, seems like a perfect alignment. I'm just saying those two campaigns I think would be great for you.
Yeah, I did download it yesterday at like 12 a.m. So I just looked at it for like 2 seconds, but I'll look at it again. It's definitely something that I might think about.
It's pretty fun. I make like 10 minute sketches or some stuff like that. One person left a comment saying that this podcast is really good, but I curse too much. So now I have like I'm like, but I love cursing so much. I think I said the word
fuck like 66 times today.
Oh, dude. But I don't think she cared that I curse. I think she cared because I curse in everything that I say. Like right now, I want to say in everything that I fucking say. Like yes, I want to say
so much better
all the time. Like I'm from the trailer park, okay? I left the trailer park. I make really good money, but you can take the girl out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the girl, okay? So stop trying to change me. If you don't like my podcast, fucking listen to one of the other fucking podcasts.
Yes.
I'm not mad at this comment. This review, I'm fine. Can you guys leave me some reviews on Apple Podcasts saying how much you love the fact that I curse, and just and we could just bury her bad review because that'd be great.
I'll go leave you one and say, I love
yeah, oh, you will.
Curse.
She's like, I was a guest and I love saying fucking shit and cunt.
And Dina Letney, amazing.
Freedom of speech, okay.
Yes.
But yeah. So I just take like 10 minutes to make a sketch. Just nothing crazy, right? Just so they get an idea. And then you just give them like what you would write in the caption. And then you have a notes section, which sometimes they read and sometimes they don't. So that's fun. And then you kind of tell them like, this is the idea I'm thinking of. And then make sure like, oh, I'm an illustrator. So art's the kind of thing that would perform well on my channel. Because obviously.
Yeah, because they're expecting like pictures of you like, right? Using the thing or doing.
For the most part. And I felt really weird about influencer marketing because I was like, oh, I don't want to just be like, here, I'm reading this cool book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like put that on my Instagram. It just wouldn't make sense. I want to make art from it. And I didn't do it for so long. And then there was this one campaign for Amazon Music. And then that day, it was like the last day of the campaign and ended. And that day I go to Women of Illustration and three freaking illustrators that I followed did campaigns for Amazon Music that were like these really cool illustrations. And one of them was an animation. And I'm just like, damn it. So I can do art? Damn it. And even in the Star Trek mood board, one of the images is a sketch of some characters. So it's like,
I could put a picture of myself, but that literally would have to be a product that I already use and love. And the odds of that happening are, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would feel weird about, like, posting a picture of myself when it's just a product I started using or... But, like, if it's a book, like, and I read the book and I like the book, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But definitely an illustration would 100% do better.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. Like, I will say this. Like, I just did this campaign for Logitech, which makes all different kinds of, like, I have two Logitech webcams, and they're really good quality. And they're selling this new mouse. It's called the Pebble. Mm. And so I submitted this, like, just very simple drawing of a flat lay, and I like drew the mouse and stuff. It took like not very long. They loved it, and then they're like, "Well, we would love if you can include a picture of the actual product. We'll send it to you. We want you to try it because they do want you to try it before you tell people to buy it because they want it to be honest. They don't want
it
to
seem insincere.
Is that
what they do? They send everybody that creates a post?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you have to submit the content and see if they like it. And if they do, they'll typically send you the product for free.
Oh, I see.
So you can try it out before you talk about it. You know what I mean? And then I got this fucking mouse and I love it. It's so much better than the Apple mouse. It's like, it's pink, which is just like nice. I just like pink things. It's rose. And it's got the windy, like the, you know, when you're scrolling, like the windy scroll where you can feel like the text, you can feel the scroll. Cause I hate the mouse, how it's like, it's just a smooth surface.
Right, right.
It feels like sexual in a weird way. If you've been with a girl and you are a girl, you know what I'm talking about when I say that. to the audience. Okay. I'm not trying to assume your sexuality. I'm just saying, which is nice. And it's quiet. It has like a quiet click.
Nice.
So you don't like it. Cause I go to the coffee shop sometimes cause I need like human connection, and I'll go out there and it's just like click, 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 click. Cause I don't type a lot. It's mostly me just like on Photoshop or something. And I feel like I'm just being really annoying cause I'm in a small town where like no one else goes to the coffee shop to work on their laptop. That's like weird here. People just looking at me like, do you not have power in your house? Is something wrong? Like, it's like, no, I don't get to be around people a lot. And this is my one opportunity, but hi, I'm Dina. It's just like, okay, fun. But you know what I mean? So you do get a chance to try it out. So yeah, I do advocate for this app. I've been on both ends of the app, both as a influencer and then as someone who's hiring influencers. And I really like the way that it works. You can set whatever price you want. It's not like they're making you undervalue yourself. Mm-hmm. And then they also will charge a separate fee for usage rates, which is really nice. So that way it's like, okay, you got approved to just draw this thing and put it on your account. All they can do with that art is repost it on their Instagram.
Fantastic.
So that's it. But if they want to like post it to other social media platforms or post it more than once to their Instagram or put it on their website, they have to buy the usage rights, which is a separate fee.
Nice.
So that's, I really respect that.
Transparency,
like, oh,
isn't
you guys
that amazing?
Get how copyright works. That's so nice.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God. How many times have I had to explain it? Be like, have you worked with an illustrator before? Do you know usage rights?
Because I know. I need to make an episode about it. I really do need to make an episode. It's so complicated.
It's so complicated. I mean, for me, because it's new. I've always been a graphic designer, not an illustrator. And now I'm like, wait, oh my God, I'm so confused.
Yeah, because like graphic design, you're taking things that already existed, like typefaces and images, and you're making something new with them, but you can't sell the usage rights because it's nothing is original that you're making. Mm-hmm. But an illustrator, that came from your freaking brain. All right.
Literally,
it did
everything.
Not exist before you made it exist. So that it has inherently more value than like graphic design. Sorry, graphic designers. Maybe you should do illustration. I mean, you listen to this podcast. And I know you're thinking about it.
And illustration is interesting because you can take that piece and then put it on a product and then put it on something else and then keep using it over and over. Like,
I feel like clients don't do that. Like every time I work with clients, they always want buyout rights, not knowing that it's like going to cost you like $3,000 for buyout rights. Because that means you can use my art however you want. You don't even have to accredit me. Like, you can change the colors. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it. You can sell it and make millions of dollars off of it. So, like, I'm going to charge appropriately because it's how you charge for usage rights is, like, how much money are you taking out of my pocket? Because if I'm just selling this to you for you to post on your Instagram, that means I can still sell it as a product. You know, like, it's the difference between exclusive and non-exclusive rights.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. And then also we have commercial versus promotional. Promotional is just like, okay, they can post it on the website. Maybe it's going to be an editorial. Mm-hmm. And even if they use it for print, but if they want to sell it on a tote bag, that's going to cost way more because now you're making an additional profit aside from just marketing dollars from that illustration. Just as I burp, there's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit in there. So just do me a favor, illustrators. I will do a promise. I promise to you, knock on, I'm going to do it. We're going to talk more about usage rights, but just for now, please do not just assume and give away all of your usage rights.
Yeah. Even if people are like, what do you mean? I'm paying for this.
Yeah. Even if they're like, I've never had an illustrator ask for that.
Yeah.
They're lying when they say that. Okay. Like, they're either not lying and they just never worked with a professional illustrator before, or they're lying because they want to get some cheap stuff from you. Mm-hmm. So, and remember, it's not the client's job to value you. You have to make them value you. You have to educate them on your process and how illustration works, because every illustrator is different and you all deserve equal amount of respect. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just because I've been on both sides of that, like, I just recently tried to hire a photographer and I had no idea that I had to pay for editing rights. She's like, oh, I want to edit all my own photography. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want you to have to spend the time to edit it because I'm paying you per hour. I can do it. You know what I mean? And also, I want it to match all the rest of my photography. She's like, oh, well, I'll have to charge more for that because you could probably fuck it
up. That's crazy.
And I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't even know that. And she was like kind of offended at first. And I was like, don't be upset. Like, I don't know any better. I've never done this before. You have to educate me. Mm-hmm. It's not my job to Google all this shit without you. You know what I mean? So like, that's part of the process when you're working with someone, is you have to be really kind to them. And there's a difference between being disrespectful and just being straight up naive.
Right.
And I feel like that's something we have to remember more.
And that's why before starting a project, I don't send like a huge form for them to fill out. I usually rather have a call, and the people that don't wind up having a call with me are the ones that were never serious about the project anyway. And I literally like will ask them these questions, like, have you worked with an illustrator before? Do you know anything about usage rights? Like, and their reaction usually tells me a lot about the project and either I should take it or not. And it usually sort of get a good read off of them. But for the most part, the people I've talked to have no idea what the hell usage rights are.
Yeah. And you typically don't want to work with a client that's only price shopping, because that means they're not valuing anything that you're doing. They only care about how much is this going to cost them. Yeah. And then that's when you're like, okay, go to Craigslist, go to Fiverr. You know what I mean? Like, go hire someone just out of college who's trying to build up the portfolio, because everyone has to start somewhere. And that's the kind of person that you're looking for right now. Don't contact someone that, I'm not talking from real life experience, that has a quarter of a million followers and has been an established designer for a decade and ask if I will do your logo for $20.
Oh my God.
Like, what part, and I'm talking from, like, people DM me on Women of Illustration all the time asking for work, not knowing that, like, we're just curating the art. And yeah. they're like, oh, we want to work with an artist. I'm like, oh, because I really would love to start job postings on Women of Illustration. It's something I want to do for months now. Because I get like 10 DMs a week. Like, hey, we want to hire some artists for this project. And sometimes I even had people ask me to hire an artist for a reality show about feminist artists. And ooh. I was like, ooh. Yeah, so I get like really cool on BBC. So it's like I get these really cool opportunities and it'd be really nice to like to tell you guys about it, you know?
Yeah.
But then I'll go through like, oh, well, what's your budget? And like, I'll ask them questions so I can, you know, give them a shout out and have people, you know, contact them. Mm. And it's always just, it's so unbelievably low. Like one person contacted me and they wanted to hire someone to do their children's book illustrations. And they literally needed 30 illustrations. Mm. She's like, my budget is about 150.
Oh my God.
I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, I tried not to react to that. I tried not to be mean because she just doesn't know any better. You know what I mean? I was like, well, on average, I'm an illustrator with, you know, a lot of experience. And it takes me about 4 or 5 hours to complete an illustration. Mm. So take that and multiply it by 30. What am I making? Like 2 cents an hour? You know what I mean? And she's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, illustration does take a lot of time. Yeah. It's not like a stick figure kind of thing. Like it takes... You know, we have to do multiple concepts. We have to come up with the art direction. There's a lot more involved. So you might be better off just trying to do it yourself or partnering with a friend that just, you know, it would be like a fun project for you guys to do together. Just so you can, but I highly recommend that you don't reach out to any illustrators with this budget because they would be very offended by it. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much for letting me know. I had no idea.
Yeah, people
you know what
just
I mean?
don't know.
Mm. So it's like, you can't just be like, what the fuck is wrong? Because like the reaction to that is like, fuck you. Get out of here. How dare you think I'm worth that little? But they don't know. They don't have any sort of reference. So it's just like, you gotta be a little bit more patient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so one day we'll have a job posting once I can find someone really who has enough money to hire one of you guys. It'll happen one of these days. That's all right. Funny. So it's funny because I had these like list of questions, but we pretty much covered them all just by like just talking normally, which I thought was very fun.
Literally just one of our coaching conversations.
Yeah, like no big deal. And guys, as a heads up, two other illustrators that we're interviewing are also a part of our Women of Illustration coaching program. So you guys get to hear a lot about my coaching. And I didn't do this on purpose. Okay. It wasn't like, give me money and it's an advertisement for you to be a part of the coaching program. It's just these women are really freaking talented. Okay. Mm. And they're my success stories, in my opinion, because I feel like, I mean, I feel like I helped, you know what I mean? So I'm just like you've grown so much. You feel more, I can tell that you feel more confident. Your skills have improved. You've done so many things that you haven't done before when we first started talking. Like you have a more cohesive brand. I understand what you're offering. You have a newsletter. You started selling products and like walking you through that whole process. You've like worked with models and like getting them taking like, you know, photos with your products and this whole thing. And it's like, I'm so fucking proud of you. Aww. And I don't want to cry, but I love you.
That's so cute.
I believe in you. And I just wanted you to be happy.
You're so sweet, and I really like. I'm so glad you're in my life. Honestly, it's so cute. We're both gonna cry. We're both criers, and now we're gonna cry.
Female friendship is so special. And I think I'm gonna add 2 spots to the coaching program. So if you guys want to join it, act soon, because I think right now it's sold out. If you guys want to join it, and just to give you a little bit of the information, it's $100 a month. You do get a lot. I should make it more money, but I'm not. 30 minutes, but let's be real, an hour coaching session. Yeah. I feel like every time I'm like, it's okay. You're like, Dina, did we go over our time? We did, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get, like, every I want to make sure you get enough value every time I talk to you. And more importantly, plenty of homework and notes and all those things. Mm-hmm. You also get a feature on Women of Illustration. And also every time, and I've told everyone this, and you need to do this too, okay? Mm-hmm. Every time so we have this private DM group where we can get critiques and feedback on our work. Every time someone posts any of their work that they post on Instagram to that DM group, I share it to stories. Mm. So that you just get a lot of fucking features. So if that's something that sounds cool to you, I would love it if you would join the group. And Dolvo, do you think more people should join the group?
100%. It's so worth it. And I mean, having an hour with you a month has really helped me with direction, honestly, especially at the beginning, before starting my shop, before like knowing what the fuck I'm doing. That's really the time when you need direction and you need someone to be like, this is how you start a newsletter. Don't cry. It's okay.
And I've it's funny too, because sometimes I have this one call with this, she's not a part of the coaching group, but she just keeps booking like independent coaching sessions with me. Mm. And I ended up just like kind of yelling at her because she wasn't charging enough. She was just giving away usage rights. She was like telling me all these things were from her clients. And I'm like, no, fuck that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. No. And she's like, but no, don't, like, hey, explain yourself. Okay, this is why that's not the right way you should do it. That's not, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like you need, and she was just like, so, and I felt so bad. I'm like, I feel like I just bitched at her for like 30 minutes. Like and then at the end, she was like kind of crying. She's like, no one's ever told me how to do this stuff before.
Yeah.
I just didn't know any better. And then like the next week, she's like, oh my God, I just tripled how much money I made.
That's,
I was like,
amazing.
Yes, it's happening. Because sometimes you just got to get like bitch slapped a little bit, like emotionally, because obviously I can't touch you through the computer screen.
And
just be like, you deserve more. You deserve better.
Yeah.
Or if you're like not at that point yet and you need to practice on your skills a little bit better and get a little more confident, we can focus on that first. I'm not going to make you do something you're not ready for.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love it. I think out of all the things that I do, like, with this podcast, with Women of Illustration, with my own work, selling products, coaching is 100% my favorite thing to do.
That's amazing. You're good at it. And to be honest, like, any advice that I've ever gotten always feels uncomfortable at the beginning because somebody's asking you to do something outside of your comfort zone. But it's always no big deal later on. And I think it just takes time for it to, like, to not, like, get that initial feeling of, like, ugh, I don't want to do this. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you know that every time it works out and it's going to be fine. But if it's something you've never done before, of course it's going to feel uncomfortable. And my thing is I always take advice and then I allow myself to remove, like, 20% of it that doesn't feel comfortable.
Totally.
But I'm still, like, still taking the essence of it, but being like, I may not want to do it that way, but literally everything else you said is great. You know what I mean? And I think
totally.
I think we're allowed to do that, to, like, tailor it to work for you.
Of course. Yeah. Because, like, I'm not you, right?
Yeah.
I can't pretend that, like, I know all the answers for you.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is give you my opinion and, like, examples of what's worked and, like, what programs and process that I've used. And then you just take that information and you just skipped, right? It's kind of like you just, like, got to go up 4 extra spaces in a board game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to 100%. Learn that information yourself. You didn't have to hunt it down. You didn't have to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all about, okay, what parts of that do I actually want to utilize and move forward with? So it's just like you're just kind of taking these nice little extra leaps in your career a little bit quicker, which is nice because I didn't have that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like you know that maybe you should do the thing, but there isn't someone there that has done the thing to tell you, oh, yes, this is the way it should be done. Like, no matter how many articles you read, you need sometimes that face-to-face interaction with someone that says, you're right. This is the way that it needs to be done, just to confirm whatever you have in your head. Because you might have good ideas, but you don't really know, and you don't mm-hmm. want to, like, have to make the mistakes of doing them or whatever. But sometimes it's just that confirmation that you're on the right track or whatever just does it all. And to be honest, instinct, like, use your instinct. Like, listen to people's advice and take it seriously and listen, especially if it's people that have experienced literally the thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But then 100% turn to your instinct and be like, how do we make this our own? Like, how do I make this advice work for me?
Totally. It's what you have to do, because you can't take any one person's advice too seriously.
Mm-mm.
The only advice I can give, and I'm not saying like, hey guys, give me money so you can talk to me. Like, I'm just saying in general, when you're looking for coaching, like, try to find someone who's the most aligned with who you want to become, because they're going to give you the best advice. Like, I've definitely gotten coaching from people who are in a completely different demographics for me, have completely different market for me, completely different products. And the advice they give me, I'm like, that's not going to work. Like,
you know, it's not for you.
Yeah. Like, I'm wasting my money and my time talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's important. I just banged the desk. It's important that you actually find someone's like that. That's who I want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish I could. I really wish I, like, knew about mentorship and coaching. I spent so much money on fucking school at, like, Full Sail University, like 100K, just paid it off. That's
oh,
what's
yay.
Up.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm doing it. 31, paid off my student loan debt. I don't know if that's, like, normal or soon. I'm not really sure what the if I should feel good or bad about that. And I graduated when I was, like, 20. So it took, like, 11 years. But anyways, and I still didn't learn any of the important stuff that I use mm-hmm. every day in the job that I have now. So it's just like, oh my God. So, like, I'm actually, like, kind of against art school. I think you should just invest money in coaching. It'll be way cheaper.
Honestly, I don't know what the hell art school did for me. Literally.
It's
I made friends,
Photoshop. That's
which
what
is
it did.
Nice. But beyond that, I don't know.
I just learned programs mostly. Like, I didn't learn anything about, I had one really good class about portfolio, and that's probably my favorite class. Mm. And it's like the only teacher I remember. Peter Cellullo, if you're listening, you're probably not, but thank you for being real with me. The only, like, out of like all the teachers I've ever had in my life, that's the only one I remember. So that's, I don't know, that's good.
Yeah.
It was just like about like getting your portfolio ready and what clients are looking for and how to like do a case study. And he was like the only thing that I actually used from college.
Yeah.
It wasn't like how to get clients, how to talk about yourself.
Oh my God. How to use social media.
Because social media wasn't really around. I mean, I just started a Facebook after I graduated in college in 2010.
Oh my God, Facebook days.
You know, like I was late to the game with that. That's why I'm not making the same mistake with TikTok, man. I just joined it. I already got 200 followers and I've been on it for 2 days.
Nice.
It's you grow crazy on fucking TikTok, you guys. So stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Check out TikTok. It's very, very addicting. I'm just going to let you guys know that right now. Your For You page is where you're going to live. Just gonna give you guys some tips. You just gotta like all the things you actually like because the algorithm knows you so well. Like literally my entire feed is just like fat girls feeling themselves and just the gays. Like that's my whole, like there's this like thing on TikTok that's like, if you're watching this right now, you're probably gay. I'm like, how did it know? It just like, it's just like all lesbians. It's great.
I love this. It.
Is fun. And then of course art and stuff as well. Yeah. But it's just, it knows me. It's really creepy. And then, like, anyone can go viral and get followers. It's just, it's so fun. I really enjoy it. And it's not just, like, teenagers singing and, like, doing dances in Target. Yeah, because
that's the impression you get from TikTok. But
yeah,
no.
That's when it was Musical.ly. TikTok is really, like, Vine, but that's, like, 15 seconds or a minute long.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, there's not a lot of artists on there. There's definitely a good artist community, but, like, it could be bigger, you guys.
Yeah, I one of my favorite actresses and people in general, Jamila Jamil, she just joined, I don't know when she joined it, but I saw on her page that she joined that, and I was like, wait, what? Now I need to go there? That's what she is. But like, that's 100% the impression I had of it before, is it's just a bunch of teenagers, but it's not. Everybody's on it.
It's going to be the number one most used social media platform out of all of them, because we have all of China like on this app. So like, it's so weird when you like, you're looking at hashtags and it says this hashtag has been in use 7 billion times.
Oh,
I'm like,
my.
What the fuck? I've never seen a B next to a hashtag on Instagram. Okay. Just to give you a point of reference.
Instagram, especially if you're using it for work, you're going to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to mean something, but maybe just have fun with TikTok.
Yeah. And I definitely want to make an episode about TikTok. But before I peace out about this episode that we talked about so many things that I hope were helpful. Another reason I think TikTok is great is that it's not about the grid aesthetic. That it's so much like, it's like, I don't even wear makeup in my, I mean, I never wear makeup really. Mm. And I'm just like, and you just edit everything right in the app and it's really easy. It even like auto syncs music to whatever you've recorded. It really does a lot of the work for you. It's really cool. And you don't, and I have like, if you go to my feed at Lettershop, it's just like me, like all of my previews are just me making weird faces. and bad lighting. Like, and it doesn't even matter. Like, you don't have to worry about having professional photography or good lighting, or it's just about the content itself.
That's nice.
And it's like such a relief from Instagram. Yeah, it's really nice where I'm just like, no, if I can't have two images that have black backgrounds together.
Oh my God. I'm having this thing with my colored backgrounds now. I'm like, it can't be two colored backgrounds next to each other. It's such a nightmare.
Yeah. And like, and no one cares on TikTok.
No one freaking, yeah.
But like on Instagram, you know, like it, people judge you more for the grit. I don't know. I really like, you guys should use it. It's fun. And then on my personal podcast on my Patreon for Lettershop, I went into a bunch of more tips on TikTok if you guys want to get into it. But hey, please check it out. All right. So let's wrap up this episode. Okay. All right. So with a very important question, and then I also want you to promote yourself a little bit. Mm. What's the one piece of advice you would give someone when they're trying, if they're like, you know what, I'm kind of turned on by this whole using my struggles as inspiration thing, what would be your advice to them?
I think I'm a little worried this is a little too broad, but very necessary.
That's okay.
I think is just spend time with yourself and figure out what you want. Because if you're going to keep trying things and they're not coming from your heart and from your soul, it might be, oh, this person did this style and it might be cool and I might want to try it. This person, I admire this person and they're talking about this topic. It might be external more than it is about yourself. And I'm all about like literally spend time with yourself, have conversations with yourself, real conversations where you're laying it all out as it is. And that's going to help you figure out what you're passionate about. And honestly, that's the hardest struggle. As soon as you find out what you're passionate about, everything kind of, I mean, life continues to get harder, but like that part gets easier. Mm-hmm. So that's my advice. Talk to yourself.
Talk to yourself. Something that I like to, man, I just want to sing now.
yeah, okay, you didn't sing in the intro.
I
don't,
I didn't. I forgot. All right, I'm going to sing my advice. Me out,
yeah.
I'm going to sing my advice. How about this? Okay. You got to feel yourself. You got to do a journal. Put your thoughts and emotions on the page. And then turn it into art and let people relate and let yourself be free. There you go.
I am not jealous.
That's your advice.
So pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. And I'm trying to sing more on TikTok, but every time I do, I feel like my voice is just garbage goo because there's like 12-year-old girls that are just like the new Christina Aguilera with like the 30-second runs, and I'm like, just bow my head in shame. Like, I'm 31, and I kind of some of those keys were right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't like put enough time to it. I'm like, I make art. Look at my art.
Yeah, seriously, I can do something right.
All right, that's 3 decades in the making right there. That should be good by now. Okay, so before we leave you, is there anything that we can promote for you?
Well, my Instagram is at the Cosmic Feminist, and you can click the link in my bio. There's my shop, my newsletter, and everything me.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's the word the Cosmic Feminist. Yes. So in order to find her, she has amazing apparel. She uses Printful just like I do, which is really, really good quality. She uses exactly the same blanks that I use. Mm-hmm. The unisex hoodie that's super soft on the inside, the unisex shirt. Have you used a tri-blend yet?
I'm ordering a sample for a product that's coming out next week, so I'm so excited for something that's soft. Dude, I mean, everything I've ordered is soft, but I think the tri-blend is going to be like another level.
The softest, dude. Actually, the most soft out of all the things that are soft on Printful is the crop hoodie is the softest.
Really?
Yeah, it's by far, I wear them every day. I make them and no one buys them, but I love them. I don't know why no one likes them. Like,
they're so pretty. I was thinking about making a product in it.
You should. It's so good. And then also they have this new canvas and Bella collab, which is a new hoodie, and it's got like the white drawstrings. That shit is so fire. It's so fucking comfortable. It's a little bit thinner than the unisex sweatshirt that you're using now,
yeah,
but it's so much more soft.
I haven't seen it.
I just tried it out this week. It's really good. Just giving you guys, does anyone care about this information about Printful? It's like, we're just talking.
Yeah.
All right, guys. A great way that you can support the podcast is giving us $1 on Patreon. You're going to be able to have early access to the podcast the day that we record them. That's right, Zelfa. This podcast will be made available very soon on Patreon, as soon as I start up the season, which will be probably next week. So you guys probably, speaking from the future, you will hear the first episode with Becca. I don't know how to say her last name. The girl who runs Letter West. And then we had Zelfa as number two. And then I think our next episode is with Holly Dunn Design, another coaching student who loves to mix fantasy and her love for books and her illustration work. And I think you guys really dig that episode. And then also, as a reminder, you know, if you want to join the coaching program, if there's spots available, please do that. Everything's on Patreon. And then also, while we were in between seasons, we released a artist shirt collab series with, I think, a total of 12 different artists. So if you would like to support not only Women of Illustration, but also help put money in these amazing women's pockets, check out the most fucking fire. That's like my new word of the podcast. The most, like, such badass illustration. Like, the only other t-shirts I wear aside from my Letter Shop apparel is my Women of Illustration apparel. I think you guys really dig it, and it's a really good price point for you guys as well, so definitely check that out at womenofillustration.com. And of course, leave us a review about how much you love to hear me curse. And if you don't like to hear me curse, shut the fuck up. All right, bye guys, have a great day, and believe in yourself and put your feelings into the world.
Yay.
Let the universe take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Kisses. Bye.
Bye.